the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, today we have this dramatic shift from the third Sunday after Epiphany into Septuagesima Sunday. All of a sudden, the vestments turn from green to purple. We're no longer saying the Gloria at the Mass. And the Church forbids the priests from saying the word Alleluia until Easter. No more will be pronounced until Easter Sunday. And also, in the office, the Church has the priests go back to the beginning of the Bible and start reading from the book of Genesis. It's like Septuagesima represents a new beginning for us, a new start for us as Catholics. The Church wants the priests to read about our human condition, the story of our creation by God on the sixth day. And then also the tragic story of our fall, the fall of our first parents, which just appears three chapters in to Holy Scripture. In that chapter, we learn about this original sin. This original sin, which is like a genetic disease that is passed down from generation to generation. So our first parents, Adam and Eve, committed this spiritual fault. Their souls became infected with this original sin. And it's like the DNA became marred by this sin. And then now, from generation to generation, this sin is passed on to all mankind. And yes, this doctrine of original sin is a doctrine of our Catholic faith. This is one of the things we are expected to believe as Catholics, that we must believe as Catholics. Here is what the Council of Trent says. If anyone asserts that the sin of Adam injured himself alone and not his posterity, and that the holiness and justice received of God, which he lost for himself alone and not for us also, let him be anathema. Original sin is reality for all of us, but also the Council of Trent teaches us that while baptism takes away original sin, it yet leaves us with the wounds of that sin. So we're baptized and we don't have original sin anymore, but we still have the effects of that sin. Here's what Trent says. This Holy Synod confesses and is sensible that in the baptized there remains concupiscence, or an incentive to sin, which, whereas it is left for our exercise, cannot injure those who do not consent, but resist manfully by the grace of Jesus Christ. So here is the situation, my dear faithful. Each one of us have received a defective spiritual DNA from our parents that has been passed down from generation to generation since the fall of Adam and Eve. And as a result, you know, even though we were baptized and the sin was taken away, we still possess, as it were, the disease of sin in our soul, the effects of sin in our soul. Our souls are sick. This is the sad reality. And you know, if we recognize that we have a disease, that we're sick for some reason, we go to urgent care, or we go to the emergency room, or we schedule a doctor's appointment, and we have the doctor examine us and tell us what is wrong. And if we went to the doctor and he got out like a soul x-ray and x-rayed our soul, he would give us their verdict. He would come in and say, I'm really sorry, but you've got a disease inside of you. You got the disease of sin inside of you. The incentive to sin, the tendency to sin, the wounds of sin are inside your soul. Your intellect is affected with the wound of ignorance. Your will is affected with the wound of malice. Your emotions are affected with the wounds of concupiscence and weakness. Your soul is suffering. You need to treat your soul. And of course, a good doctor would give us the good remedies, say, well, you need frequent confession, frequent Holy Communion, attendance at Mass, a strong prayer life. But he would also encourage us to fight against the disease, make sure that we manage the disease. This is kind of what is meant by laboring in this life, by fighting. We have to manage this disease of sin in our soul. We have to practice mortification so that the disease does not metastasize. Think of a person who has cancer. Unless they're fighting against that cancer, the cancer is going to take over. And that's what the cancer wants to do, right? It wants to spread throughout the entire body until it owns the body and brings the body to death. Or a person with diabetes. A person with diabetes has to be constantly monitoring their blood sugar and their levels and their diet to make sure that the diabetes does not get out of control and they go into like a diabetic coma or something. So it is with us, because we have this disease of sin in our soul, we have to be on our guard not to favor the disease, to foster the disease, to make the disease become stronger. Of course, we do that on the one hand by trying not to go to those places that are going to make us get sicker. When we're online, we don't go to those sites that are going to nourish the wound of sin in our soul. Or like when we're out in the world, we don't go to places of ill repute, to like a bar or something, or a rock concert. So we know that these events will precisely make that poison of sin in our soul become stronger. It will give it more impetus. Rather, we want to weaken that. But it's not enough for us just to avoid places where sin is more prevalent, because we carry it with us. We also carry the disease with us. And so it's so necessary for us to continually fight against and manage that disease. And this we do especially by that work of mortification. This is what St. Paul is talking about in the epistles today. He compares it to two things. He compares it to a race. He talks about how people who get in athletic races, they do a lot of physical deprivation in order to run better. He talks about those who fight in contests, the boxers who fight, how they also work hard in order to have a good fight. So too, we running this race towards heaven, we must put up a fight against the sin that is within us so that we can make it to eternal life. And it's a remarkable aspect of our Catholic faith, of our Catholic tradition, that all throughout our history, there has been this constant practice of mortification. It's just quite simply part of being Catholic to have this spirit of mortification. When we look back at the Catholics of old, we can even be tempted to think that, wow, they took this too seriously. They went too far because of the fact that it was just a normal practice in the old days of the church to make use of the discipline. Or they would actually have a scourge and a rope that had these knots on it, and they would whip themselves. They would literally chastise their body, just as St. Paul is speaking about in today's epistle. This wasn't because they loved pain. It was because they were trying to mortify their flesh and get it under control. We don't do this anymore, and you shouldn't do it before talking to a priest. You know, kids, don't try this at home. This is for the saints, and tons of saints did this. Just to give some examples, St. Rose of Lima, St. Dominic, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, St. Alphonsus Rodriguez, you know, like Curie of Ars, St. Louis de Montfort, goes on and on. While we don't do this same practice today, we must have the spirit of mortification. We must have mortification in our lives. We must choose mortifications because we recognize that our souls are sick. We have this disease in us. If we don't do anything about it, the disease is going to grow. is going to take over our soul. It's going to bring us to eternal death. So we choose certain mortifications to do to keep sin under control within our soul. We do things, of course, like fasting from food. We eat less food. We don't eat between meals. We don't eat our favorite foods. We don't have dessert, or we don't have our favorite drinks, for instance. We do things like taking cold showers or sleeping on the floor or going to bed at a certain time, getting up at a certain time, doing exercise in a spirit of mortification, things like this, in order to keep our souls in good health. This is part of our labor to get to heaven. This message of the spirit of the church, this belief in the reality of original sin and our wounded state, is becoming harder and harder today. It's becoming more and more foreign in a society that is addicted to pleasure, and kind of lingering in the background, this belief that man is not wounded, that he's not sick, that he doesn't have a disease in his soul. On the contrary, man is naturally good. This is the belief that we inherit from the Enlightenment, from Jean-Jacques Rousseau, for instance, the humanist, the Renaissance humanist. And if you have this belief that man is naturally good, then of course you're going to think that whatever impulse that you have, whatever emotion you have, whatever movement happens in your soul is good and needs to be gratified. And this is exactly what's happening today. We are encouraged to just follow whatever impulses we may have. And when people follow them into lives of grave sin, we are told to congratulate them and just affirm them in these choices. This is why very unnatural lifestyles today are praised and celebrated, because there's this idea that if you have an impulse in you, because we're naturally good, all of our impulses are good, then these lifestyles that their impulses are pushing them to are also good. Whereas our Catholic perspective is that these are the impulses of sin. This is the flesh pushing towards evil. And if we're kind to people when we see them, we say, no, there's an objective order. There is good and evil. And there's certain behaviors that are bad and sinful. And if you follow them, if you follow your impulses and do these things, you will destroy yourself. And you will go to hell forever, sadly. Fortunately, the movies today propagate this idea that, you know, you just be you. You just follow whatever your impulses are, and everything seems to turn out well in the movies. Like when people are just following their impulses, just responding to their passions, riding the wave of their passions, things are portrayed as just turning out for the best. It's always the happy ending. But it's not real. It's not the way it happens. Sadly, the church herself seems to have adopted this false humanistic outlook. In 2024, one of the last documents issued by Pope Francis was a document called Dignitas Infinita, Infinite Dignity. It really contains this humanistic spirit. Its opening words are the following: every human person possesses an infinite dignity, inalienably grounded in his or her very being, which prevails in and beyond every circumstance, state, or situation the person may ever encounter. This principle, which is fully recognizable even by reason alone, underlies the primacy of the human person and the protection of human rights. And then the document immediately goes on to quote or refer to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. This is not the message to us of Holy Mother Church. Holy Mother Church, who is like our nurse or our doctor tending to our souls. The message of Holy Mother Church is not that we have infinite dignity. The message of Holy Mother Church is that we are sick in our souls. We are wounded in our souls. And that we need to fight against the sin in our souls. This Mass that is so precious to us, this traditional Latin Mass, is so impregnated with this spirit. I leave it as a homework assignment to you to just go through the Mass and read the prayers of the Mass that somehow we see a lot, but we're not always so familiar with. But these prayers so often require the priest to humble himself, require the priest to confess his sinfulness, require the priest to bow down himself before God in his lowliness and beg that his sins be wiped out. I leave you, as I say, to go through the Mass and find them all. But I'll just quote the prayer of the offertory that I will pray shortly, when the priest offers the host. Accept, O Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, this unspotted host, which I, thy unworthy servant, not thy servant of infinite dignity, offer unto thee, my living and true God, for my innumerable, quasi-infinite sins, offenses, and negligences, for all here present. So, my dear faithful, as we enter into this Septuagesima season, I want to encourage you to renew your belief in this dogma of our Catholic faith, that there is this original sin and we suffer in our souls the effects of this original sin. And so it's so important for us to engage ourselves. Holy Mother Church invites us, encourages us through these incredible Masses, Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, that are now gone in the Novus Ordo. These beautiful Masses with their beautiful epistles and gospels, and St. Paul there to motivate us, Holy Mother Church to motivate us to engage ourselves in this great fight against the sin that was within us. I want to encourage you to prepare yourself mentally for Lent. Want to have a really good Lent, a really holy Lent. And through this fight, this beautiful fight, this beautiful labor in the vineyard of our Lord, truly prepare the way for eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.